How can someone from Ohio be the Wicked Witch of the West? Easy, if you're writing from Baum's point of view that everything was controlled by wicked New York City-based banking interests. Then, anything west of New York's Hudson River is west. In those days, it was very common to refer to Minnesota and Wisconsin as part of the Northwest. This is why Northwest Airlines is still based in Minnesota. Same evolution of the word. We still refer to Ohio today as the Midwest. By contrast, in the vernacular, the Mideast doesn't exist in America. McKinley was staunchly pro-gold, pro-tariff, and worse than Cleveland in the populist view. His annexation of Puerto Rico, Guam and the Philippines, and Hawaii did little to endear him to his foes, who saw him as a greedy imperialist. This witch is anxious to get the silver shoes from Dorothy before she learns their true power and tries to kill her and the silver movement off through a series of trials, the aforementioned annexations and Spanish-American War, meant to separate the four friends and the power they have as a united group. Glinda, the good witch of the South, waves her wand and resolves the foursome's problems, just as support from the South bolstered the populist movement before it ultimately died out, and Dorothy returned to Kansas without her silver shoes. The story is filled with more political and monetary allegory. The flying monkeys, the enslaved Winkies, nowhere to be found in MGM's version, the poppy field, golden, even the gifts the wizard bestows on our heroes, a little liquid courage for the teetotaling lion. Brian was a well-known prohibitionist. Didn't escape Baum's audience. They knew the meanings. Don't believe me? There is a wonderful 1990 paper by Hugh Rockoff, The Wizard of Oz as a Monetary Allegory, which is available online or in your local library. Rockoff delves into more detail about the economic, monetary, and political climate, along with the characters and narrative itself. Read that, and then reread Baum's classic. It will be eye-opening for you. Sometimes, even your favorite childhood stories aren't what they seem to be. This has been an Audible Inc. production of The Only Three Questions That Still Count, Investing by Knowing What Others Don't. Written by Ken Fisher. Narrated by Paul Bamer. Producers Mike Charzik and Stefan Rudnicki. Edited, mixed, and mastered by Ted Scott. Copyright 2012 by Fisher Investments. Production copyright 2012 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.